All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. We're hoping to pull out all the stops on our harvest day, and so we have a lot of things that we're doing on that day, but then we're having a couple of things leading up to that, and Pastor Campbell mentioned a moment ago about the two special services that are coming up. One next Sunday night, 28th, and then one on Wednesday night. So Sunday night and Wednesday night, this coming Sunday, a week from today, and then Wednesday night, then the next Sunday is Harvest Day. So right before Harvest Day, we're going to take the two services prior to that, and we're going to have a brief soul-winning explanation. Pastor Atkinson is going to share with us his understanding and expertise in winning children to Christ. He is a master at that, and he will share that on Sunday night, and then Pastor Shutt is going to do a refresher course with everybody on Wednesday night. So we've got two services coming up that we really hope you'll be here for and get excited about. And I know it's unusual that I am not preaching on that Sunday night or that Wednesday night. I will be here. I'll be sitting right there taking notes and saying amen. But I think they ought to do that. It'll help you. It'll help me. It'll help all of us. And so it's just all getting ready for that harvest day. And Pastor Chris is always telling us, or he was always telling us when we were planning this harvest day thing back in the spring of last year. And he said we can get some food trucks. And all us old guys, we were, what? Gonna get what? Food trucks. What's a food truck? And trucks, and they prepare food. And we just all again looked at one another like, okay. We used to call those roach coaches. Remember the day? Remember the day? Yeah, that's what we called them, roach coaches. But what? Oh yeah. No, they cleaned it up. That's my point, folks. They cleaned it up. And I had never noticed, but they're everywhere. And it's the thing, evidently. Isn't that right? So I was eating lunch the other day and listening to Rush Limbaugh, and they did a commercial. And they were talking about some fair they're having in Anne Arundel County or somewhere, and this weekend. And they were saying, we want you to come. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have food trucks. And we're going to have a petting zoo. Oh, no. Yeah. And I thought, copycats. That's what I thought, copycats. So that's what I was thinking. But folks, we're going to have a great time. It's going to be good. I want you to plan on bringing somebody with you. There's probably somebody that you could ask to come to church with you that day, and get them excited about coming. And we're excited about it. It's going to be a good day. We're going to have a great time, and I think that everybody ought to get in on it. So get on board and let's have a great day. I'd like to see us have a bunch of people saved and just see the Lord do some great things and get some new folks interested in coming to the church and just do what we can to reach people with the gospel. I think it'll be great. All right, Psalm 142. Are you there? All right, let's read it. You follow along as I read. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack right there in front of you. Feel free to use it. And follow along as I read and bring the message this morning. All right, let's begin in verse 1. David is writing this psalm, and you will notice at the very top, of this psalm, where it says 142, and then right under where it says these words, a psalm of David, Mashiel of David. Look at this, a prayer when he was in the cave. All right, so David was in the cave. Now, what was he doing in the cave? Hiding. Who's he hiding from? Saul, exactly right. All right, so see, y'all don't need this sermon. Let's just go home, what do you say? No? All right. No, when he was in the cave. So he's hiding from King Saul. And afraid for his life. All right, so here's what he says. He's talking to the Lord. Look at this. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I want to speak to you this morning primarily from verse 4. And I'm going to entitle the message this morning, Not Wanted. Not Wanted. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for our time together this morning, and thank you for just allowing us the privilege to hear the Word of God preached this morning. There are people all over the world that would give anything to be in a service like this. They would give anything they had just to be able to sit unafraid and hear the man of God take the Bible and preach it. And so, Father, help us to realize what we have this morning. And I pray you'll bless the message and touch our hearts with it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This psalm is a psalm written by David during that 10-year period where David was running from King Saul. You remember that Samuel, the prophet, had anointed David to be the king in Saul's stead. And then 10 years lapsed before David took the throne. 10 long years. And those 10 years were not quiet years. They were years where Saul and his men did everything in their power to capture, to chase and to capture and to kill David. And David, with the help of God, was always able to stay just one step ahead of him. And this psalm was written during one of those crucial periods where David was basically trapped. He was in this cave. Saul did not know he was in the cave, and that's the only thing that saved him, was the fact that Saul did not know he was there. Now, you have probably heard this psalm preached on many times in your Christian life through the years. And every time that I have heard a sermon on it, and I have a sermon, I cannot remember, and I didn't take the time to look for it, but I cannot remember if I preached that sermon here. I just don't remember. But I have a sermon that I have preached from verse 4. And every time that I've ever heard it preached on, and when I did preach on it before, I used verse 4 as a way to portray a lack of interest in which that God's people have toward the unsaved people. All right, I've used verse 4 where he says, "No man cared for my soul." And I've used that text, and every other time I've ever heard it preached on, and I've heard it preached on several times through the years, but it is always used to portray a lack of interest by God's people upon the unsaved. Now, while I will say aloud amen to any sermon that challenges the saved people of God to care about the souls of men, I want to take a different approach and look at this from a different angle this morning. There are many, many verses in the Bible that you could take to make the point that and challenge saved people to care about the souls of those that do not know the Lord. Many, many verses. And I want to take this fourth verse this morning and use it in a little different light. I want to approach this as an indictment upon those who do not want the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want the Lord in their lives. They don't want to fellowship with Christ. They don't want to live for Christ. They don't want to walk with Christ. They don't want anything to do with Christ. Remember that this psalm was written about the time that King Saul was chasing David, and David was hiding out in a cave, practically forsaken and forgotten by the people. David was God's anointed to be the king of Israel, but nobody cared about that truth. Folks, they were all there. They were all there. They all saw what David did. He killed Goliath. They all knew who David was. David and Jonathan, Saul's son, were best friends. David was invited to live at the palace of the king. Everybody knew who David was. Everybody. And when Samuel went and anointed David to be the king, that word spread like wildfire. Everybody knew that Saul had been rejected by God and David had been selected by God, and that Samuel had even gone and anointed David to be the king in Saul's place. And yet, nobody gave David a refuge. David is out here running for his life. David says, I looked on my right hand and it beheld, but there was no man that would know me. No man. He said, refuge failed me. Nobody would take me in. Nobody wanted to be a... Hey, if they took David in and Saul happened to show up, if David's dead, they're dead. And so everybody just turned their back on David. And David is out here running for his life. Everybody knew that David had been anointed. They all understood that Saul was a wicked king, that he was evil-hearted, that he was a self-centered, self-absorbed man. But nobody cared much about doing anything about the situation. Now, as the anointed of God, listen carefully now, David is a beautiful type or picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think pictures perfectly how the world, how people feel about Jesus today. Men today do not want the Lord Jesus. They don't want anything to do with the Lord. The Apostle John tells us that when Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, John says he came unto his own and his own received him not. He was rejected then, and sadly, he is still rejected today. Today, his name is used by the world as a swear word. That just makes me cringe every time I hear it. When through the years I have heard someone cursing and using the name of the Lord in a vile and disgusting manner, my mind has flashed to the day that I read about in the New Testament. In the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 through verse 11, the Apostle Paul said, wherefore, and by the way, a song in which we sung about this morning, or verses in which we sung about this morning, and we didn't coordinate. It was God that coordinated this morning so that you and I would realize there's a day a-coming. And here is what Paul said, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, the him is Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now there are three ways in which our text shows the unwanted attitude of men towards the Lord Jesus Christ that I want to point out to you this morning. Number one, first, there is the recognition of Christ. You will notice here the psalmist said, there was no man who would know me. No man who would know me. There are a lot of people who recognize Jesus, but they don't recognize Jesus. They know who Jesus is, but they don't know Jesus. This ignorance of the Savior is the worst ignorance a man can have. When Jesus was here on this earth, it is sad that so few recognized that he was the Son of God, and so few people wanted him. As I said a moment ago, John tells us that his own received him not. Many did believe in him. And we still tell their stories today. There's Mary Magdalene, for example. There's blind Bartimaeus. There's the 10 lepers. There's the Syrophoenician woman and many, many others. Nicodemus, people who believed in him. And isn't it great? We still tell their story 2,000 years later. But the truth is, God has always had a remnant, always. God has always had a remnant who believe and are those through whom he keeps faith and hope alive, just like he does today. And you'll remember, folks, when describing the end days, Jesus said, he asked the question, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? And I think the answer is yes, he will, but it will be a remnant. Just a remnant of all the billions of people who are on the planet today. And the problem is the same as it has always been. The problem today is the same that it was in Christ's day and the same that it was in David's day. The problem has always been the same, and here it is. There is no man who would know me. There is no man that would know me. Folks simply do not want to know the Lord Jesus. Men know many things today, but they don't know Christ. Pastor Josh told me about the teens going out a week or so ago, and he knocked on a door, and a fella came, and he was belligerent towards our teenagers. He was mad at them for knocking on his door. And he told them, I don't want you coming back to my house again. The man said, I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say. That's our world today, folks. They don't want to hear it. And sadly, this ignorance of Jesus today is willful ignorance. It's like the pollster that went knocking on doors in this community, and he knocked on this one guy's door. Guy came to the door and he said, sir, we are taking a survey and would like to know, what do you think is the biggest problem in America today, ignorance or apathy? The man said, I don't know and I don't care. That's our world, isn't it? That's our world. No one would know me. Folks, that's a shame. Here is one whom to know is joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're talking about one who that is to know is to know peace. You know, I laid my head down on the pillow last night, and when I laid my head down on the pillow, the thing that flashed through my mind was, well, if I don't wake up here, I'm waking up in heaven. Amen. Amen. I mean, it's a shame no man would know me. But to know him is to have light. To know him is to have grace. To know him is to have goodness. And the list just goes on and on and on. And yet, the psalmist said, there was no man that would know me. I'm sure that David's heart was grieved that the people rejected him. Don't you imagine that David running all over those hills of Judea? Don't you imagine that David probably thought to himself, wow, how could these people possibly be happy with King Saul? How could they possibly be happy with him? Don't they know what kind of a person he is? Don't they know how evil his heart is? Don't they know that I have been anointed their king? Doesn't anybody know anything? What's wrong with people today? And folks, that's just the problem. Nobody cared. And nobody cares today. Nobody recognizes what is right in front of their faces. And it's sad. It's sad that nobody notices. Our courts have rejected the Lord Jesus and the Word of God. And now they've made laws that hinder folks from learning about the Lord Jesus. Isn't it strange? You can go to school, public school, and learn about Allah. Isn't that weird? You can go to the public school today and learn about Sharia, or learn about Buddhism, but in a public school, it's against the law to learn the Bible. I remember Miss Hoon in first grade had a Bible sitting on her desk. I remember every morning going in and Miss Hoon reading to us we started in Matthew, and she just read through the New Testament. And when she finished reading the Bible, she would then tell us and talk to us about it and ask us questions. You better have paid attention. And then she would take prayer requests. This is public school, folks. She would take prayer requests and write them on the board. And then she would pray. And then we would start the day. And the same thing in second grade with Mrs. Cremines. And then I went to third grade with Miss Melton. And Miss Melton said, well, boys and girls, and this was 1963. And Miss Melton said, well, boys and girls, we can't pray anymore to start school. And we can't read the Bible anymore to start school. And nobody blinked. Nobody cared. And now look at our country. It's great, isn't it? Now, don't leave your Bible at home, people. So what do? They leave the Bible at home, take a gun to school. Yeah, it's worked out well, hasn't it? Second thing, I got to hurry. I'm just trying to get you to think a little bit this morning. Number two, I want you to notice there is no refuge for Christ. You see, when David was running and hiding from Saul, nobody helped him. Nobody came to his rescue. There were a few people who gave him protection or gave him a place to stay. They simply did not want David. David was on his own. He had to figure things out on his own. He had to find his own places of refuge and find those places in the barren wilderness of Judea. And folks, it's the same way with the Lord Jesus today. Thank God people will open their hearts to receive the Lord. We had 50-some people saved yesterday down in Baltimore. Thank God people will still respond. But few will open their hearts in comparison to the number of people that are in this world. Few will stand up and say, come on in and stay with me, David. Come on in, Lord, and stay with me. It is more popular today to mock the Lord Jesus than to offer him refuge. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he said of men in chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of their way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their heart is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. And then Paul said in verse 18 of that chapter, in conclusion, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Man, that's our world today. Our world today curses God in such a vile and blasphemous way, and there is no fear of God before men's eyes. It's like nobody is concerned with the fact that they are one day going to have to stand and give account of themselves to God. So if you will not give the Lord a refuge in your heart, let me tell you something, folks, the Bible is very clear. Your eternity is going to be a terrible, terrible experience. Jesus said, refuge failed me. Nobody wants me. Nobody would open their doors for me. That's what David cried. And we can parallel that to the Lord. That is exactly how our Lord feels today. People don't have time for the Lord today. And they reject him at every turn. Let me tell you something, folks. Rejection of the Lord Jesus here is going to bring a terrible eternity. If I'm reading my Bible correctly, and I think I am, it tells me that you must live somewhere forever. Somewhere forever. You see, you're not like a bug. You get stepped on, and that's it. No, you don't die, and that's it. Your soul lives forever. Your soul must live somewhere forever. And your soul is the real you. Your eternal soul will either live in heaven because you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, or in hell because you have not. And if Christ is unwanted in this life, then he is not going to want you in the next life. Oh, it's not that you won't, that you will be unwanted. Truth is, it'll break his heart to have to send you away to hell for eternity. But he will not be able to accept you in eternity in heaven because you did not accept him in time. Does that make sense to you? He can't take you in eternity unless you take him in time. You say, well, what's time? Right now. Hey, folks, doesn't everything we do revolve around this, what this says? You see, at 8:30 this morning, we knew it was time to start. At 9:35, I know that's time to quit. And then 9:45 comes along 10 minutes later, and it's time for Sunday school to start. And then there will be a time when Sunday school quits and the second service begins. And then it will be time to eat some lunch, and then it will be 6 o'clock again before long, and it'll be time to go to church again. That's right, we have church on Sunday night. Evidently, some of y'all don't know that. You're welcome. See, you had to say that, didn't you? Yeah, I did. Number three, I'm going to hurry. Notice the flat-out rejection of Christ. Just look at it. David said, no man cared for my soul. You think that broke David's heart? Man, he's anointed to be the king, and yet nobody cared? Does that remind you of anybody? You know, you turn over here to the back of the book, and one day Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David. He's already been elected. He's already been anointed. He's already been chosen. It is so settled, it's written in the book. As if it already happened. And yet David said, no man cared for my soul. That's sad. From the time he was promised the throne until the day he actually took it, his own people rejected him. How sad that period must have been. And folks, it is so sad that so many in our world today are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he has a promise that he will one day sit upon the throne of the entire world. He will rule and reign over this entire world. And yet most people in the world today want nothing to do with the one that the Bible calls the King of Kings. He's not just the King. He's the King of Kings. They want nothing to do with the Lord of Lords. He's not just the Lord. He's the Lord of Lords. Wow. And yet we don't want anything to do with him. I don't understand that. People today have many, many interests, but sadly the Lord Jesus is not one of them. Today, Sunday, the Lord's Day, and yet all over the country, Would you know it was the Lord's day by what you see? No, you wouldn't. All over the country, churches will have their doors open, but the truth of the matter is a very small percentage of the population will go to church. Oh, football stadiums will be full, and soccer stadiums will be full, and racetracks will be almost full. They used to be full, but people lost interest in that for some reason. Baseball stadiums, they're full. I watched the game last night. It was packed. Standing room only. Amusement parks, shopping malls, fairs and celebrations and all these things packed to the hilt. But the house of God is not one of those places where people care about. How sad. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the supreme, omnipotent creator of the universe. And men today can find no room in their hearts for him. No man cared for my soul, David said. And this rejection of Christ is everywhere you look. I told you how Miss Nancy Stocksdale many years ago invited me down to pray for the opening of the House of Delegates at the state of Maryland down in Annapolis. And somebody from the Sergeant of Arms mailed me a letter about a week out and very boldly said, and then highlighted it with a yellow marker, they said, "Do not mention the name of Jesus Christ in your prayer, as this can be offensive to people of other faiths." And I thought, well, good grief, I don't know how else to pray. So I went down and I said, "Dear Heavenly Father, in the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who died on Calvary's cross, according to Scripture, and was buried and resurrected on the third day, according to Scripture, in the name of Jesus." And they started slamming on their desks with their hands and slamming their drawers. And they just, I mean, all over the place. They were, I don't know how many of them are, a bunch of them. But I had a microphone. And I used it. You say, "Well, you never got invited back either, did you?" Nope. But they heard the truth when I was there. You know, people say they want God, but they blatantly reject the Lord Jesus, and Jesus is the only way to get to God. Paul said to Timothy, "There is one God." James said, "Hey, you believe in God? That's good. The devils believe in God." You see, if you listen to the Bible, you'll realize there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So what this world fails to understand is that the only way any man can come into the presence of a holy and just God of heaven is to come through his Son, Jesus. Christ is our go-between. He is our advocate to the Father. He is our advocate to the Father. And you and I cannot get to God the Father without going through God the Son. And that is why the world hates and despises the Son so much. Because the devil knows that the only way anybody can get to God is to go through Jesus. I wonder if some of these folks, once David got on the throne, might have gone to him and put their hat under their arm and kind of held their heads down as they approached and said, "King David, sir, King, sir, sir, King, sir, sorry about ignoring you that few years there while you were running from Saul. Sorry about that. I hope you'll forgive me. you know, I just was sort of busy, and, you know, we had the kids about that time, and, you know, got kind of wrapped up in a few things I couldn't quite shake. So sorry about the treatment I gave you during that time. I wonder if any of them did that. Dear friend, I challenge you not to get so busy with stuff right now that you neglect the most important thing in this world. And the most important thing in this world is for you to have a personal relationship with the God of heaven through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. David said, I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Not wanted. That's a sobering thought, is it not?